compares to you. Oh, sing that chorus again to us. Let's just make it personal now, saints, and let's sing it like this. Oh, I need you, Lord. I need you, Lord, right now. Yes, Lord Jesus. Oh, I need you, Lord. I need you, Lord. Don't you just love Him? You know, it just thrills His heart this morning to hear you call out, I need you, Lord. Because as much as we need Him, He needs us to need Him. If it wasn't for that, what would His purpose be? Oh, what a wonderful, wonderful thing. We think we're so insignificant sometimes, and we are, really. But in His eyes, we're everything. The Creator of it all. I've said many times before, you know, people consider it a great honor, and I guess it is, to go to the White House and visit the most powerful man on earth, they say, is the President of the United States. But what's more is the one that created everything comes down in your midst this morning. Oh, it's truly wonderful. I love Him so much. Certainly glad all of you are here. It's a beautiful day outside. It's going to be a beautiful day inside. To me, every day that I'm a child of God is a beautiful day. And I was just thinking of this song last night as Brother Jason was ministering to us. You know, you get in the middle of a battle, and sometimes you wonder how you're going to get through it. And before you know it, you're looking back, and that valley's in the past. And you're like, wow, where did that come from? Through it all. You know, He's been through every battle. And then we learn that through those trials and those tribulations, our faith in Him grows even stronger. Let's just sing that song, Through It All. I just love the words to this. Through it all,
Truly sing this now.
Amen. It's so wonderful to be a child of God. Are you glad you're one of them? Amen. You're singing like it this morning. Let's just enter into worship and get loose and turn our 10-stringed instruments loose and let's just have church this morning. Amen.
There are people almost everywhere whose hearts are all aflame with the fire that fell at Pentecost, which cleansed and made them clean. It is burning now within my heart, all glory to His name. I'm so glad that I can say I'm one of them. I'm one of them. I'm one of them. Oh, I'm so glad that I can say I'm one of them. I'm one of them. I'm one of them. Oh, I'm so glad that I can say I'm one of them. Though these people may not learn it, most of worldly faith, they have all received their Pentecost, baptized in Jesus' name, and are telling now both far and wide, all power is yet the same. I'm so glad that I can say I'm one of them. I'm one of them. I'm one of them. Oh, I'm so glad that I can say I'm one of them. I'm one of them. And they were gathered in the upper room, all praying in His name. They were baptized with the Holy Ghost, and power for service came. Now what He did for them that day, He'll do for you the same. I'm so glad that I can say I'm one of them. Oh, I'm one of them. I'm one of them. Oh, I'm so glad that I can say I'm one of them. I'm one of them. Oh, I'm so glad that I can say I'm one of them. Oh, come, my brother, seek this blessing that will cleanse your heart from sin, that will start the joy bells ringing and will keep the soul aflame. It is burning now within my heart, all glory to His name. I'm so glad that I can say I'm one of them. Are you one of them? I'm one of them. I'm one of them. Oh, I'm so glad that I can say I'm one of them. Oh, I'm one of them. I'm one of them. Oh, I'm so glad that I can say I'm one of them. Oh, and it's so worth and I've got my wedding garments on. Oh, no, this old world can never hold me. Hallelujah! For any moment I'll be gone. For I've made my consecration and I've got my wedding garments on. Oh, one more time. For this old world never hold me. Oh, any moment I'll be gone. For I've made my consecration and I've got my wedding garments on. Hallelujah. Oh, my. Oh, my, Brother Bill. Just think what that's going to be like when that body change strikes. Amen. And we become young again. Oh, I love Him this morning. Before we change the order of the service, let's just sing that song, "We Worship You, Almighty God." Amen. I worship You, Almighty God. There is none like You. I worship You, O Prince of Peace, that is what I want to do. I give You praise.
sing it one more time now.
Worship you, Almighty God. There is none like you. I worship.
Savior. Amen. And Sister Becky continues to play that softly. We just want to take these requests before the Lord. I'd like to ask Brother Gideon if he would be prepared to come and lead us to the Lord in prayer this morning. Certainly glad to have him and the family here with us. We want to remember Sister Caitlin Florian and Hans in prayer this morning as they're not feeling well. Also, Brother David Morlier is not feeling well. We want to remember him as well. And I had brought a request before the church last weekend, and I'd like to just mention it again. A friend of mine from years ago, we went to school together, and he has a daughter that's, he was about 3 years older than me, but he's got a daughter that's 28, and she was got two small kids and was diagnosed with breast cancer. She has been undergoing treatments, and she went back to Duke for an evaluation week before last, and they sent her home, told her there was nothing else they could do, give her about 3 weeks to live. She's got two small children, just really a wonderful family, and they're going to go seek a second opinion at the cancer center, American Cancer Center, but I know where there's a better opinion. Doesn't require a doctor. He's already got an answer for it. And I would just like for y'all to remember this family in prayer. I just think of that so young, two young babies, their mother, you know, on the brink. So just remember them in prayer. I know there's many needs among us also, unspoken requests. Pray for each other. You know, we're all part of the body. When one part of the body hurts, we all hurt. Whatever your need might be this morning, he's already got an answer for it. Just reach out and claim it. Just reach out and claim it. Brother Gideon, if you would come and just lead us to the Lord in prayer.
Man, it's so good to be here this morning. Let's just bow our heads and pray. Dear Heavenly Father, thank you for this morning you've given us, God. A brand new morning, brand new mercies, God. We're just so thankful, God. Just bless your word this morning as we come and sit at your throne, God, as we come and offer ourselves up to you, Lord Jesus, asking for a brand new touch from you, Lord, this morning, God. A brand new word, God, that you would just come and speak to us directly, God, individually, God. We need you, Lord, and as we see this need this morning, God, of the sister, Lord, with breast cancer, Lord, God, we know you're the healer, God. We know you're the provider of every need, Lord, so we ask you to intervene, Lord Jesus, and just come into this situation, God, and touch it, Lord Jesus, because only you can do it, Lord. We love you, God, and we just ask for your presence to fall this morning, God, and just give us a refilling of your Holy Spirit, God. I ask all these needs, Lord Jesus, all the uplifted hands, Lord Jesus, with needs, just we ask for your blessing this morning, in Jesus' name, amen.
Thanks. Just before you're seated, let me have the ushers go ahead and come at this time. We'll receive the morning offering. The choir is going to be giving us a special. So once we get the offering done, if they'll be getting ready to sing. Let's sing that song. The ushers come. I have a maker. He formed my heart before even time began. My life was in He knows my name, and He knows my every thought, and He sees each tear that falls, and He hears me when I call.
Brother David, if you would bless the offering for us.
Amen. As the ushers pass by, you may have your seat, and if the choir will start getting ready to come on up, we'll sing this as they're getting ready. We'll sing this other verse. I have a Father. He calls me His own.
Yes, Lord.
He'll never leave me, no matter where I go. He knows my name. He knows my every thought. And He sees each tear that falls. And He hears me when I call.
We'll sing that chorus again.
Amen. Isn't that your desire this morning? Amen. Let it rain. All right, let's all stand, and we'll have Brother Barry come at this time. Thank you, choir. That was beautiful. Truly a blessing. Let's sing that song, "In the Morning When I Rise, Give Me Jesus," as Brother Barry comes. In the morning when I rise, in the morning when I rise, in the morning. Give me Jesus. Give me Jesus. Give me Jesus. You can have all these worlds, but give me Jesus.
Just for a moment, we're going to give Brother Paul just a moment to get ready to come out, and we appreciate him taking the service this morning, and I'm not really sure where we can go after last night's service, but kind of like that was a finale almost, wasn't it? Just absolutely tremendous. You know, I was texting some brothers last night, and just they were remarking how it spoke to them and moved them very deeply, and I just want to say, Brother Jason, we appreciate you being here, and the brothers who are ministering here are people who are very familiar to us as an assembly, and but Jason has long and deep connections to our area. All your children were born in this town, right? Or close by. And lots of relatives and lots of connections and so forth. I mean, I don't know about you. If you need to take a vote, we can. I'd just soon you move back, you know, and just... I got places I could go. My wife and I could... You know, you could just slide right in, and but we appreciate that. But let me just say this too: that you may not know, and Brother Jason's father was Eddie was a familiar face around the message for many, many years. Went on to be with the Lord, and after the funeral, my father-in-law told me something about Brother Eddie, and he said that over the years, he said, you know, Brother Eddie came up with all of us. You know, he's Homer Brown, Bill Pederis, Leon Pederis, Harry Hempel, all those guys who were around back in the day when Brother Branham was still alive. And Brother Eddie was right in the mix, right in with all of them. And he said, my father-in-law said that over time, many of those fellows fell away. They got involved in this and that and something else and did their own thing and disregarded the fact that God sent a prophet. Never really had a revelation that God sent a prophet. But Brother Eddie just kind of stood strong, just was balanced, just grew, came all the way through and stayed true to his convictions and his revelation all the way to the very end. I see that in Jason, too, and it's probably one of the highest compliments I can pay you, just to appreciate your balance and that just standing straight in the midst of all the winds that blow and still continue to blow in our time. And we just appreciate you being with us here. Brother Paul is no stranger to us, and he and some of the family who are here are going to sing tonight, I think. But this morning we wanted him to come and just share what's on his heart. After service this morning, we're going to get our young people together. We got some things that we're going to make available for them this afternoon until 4 o'clock. We're going to shut down the fellowship hall around 4 o'clock, give folks a time to be able to prepare for this evening's service. And we've got a full agenda from tonight and then tomorrow morning, and the hog is on its way. Matter of fact, I got a picture of the hog, if anybody wants to see it. But they're going to light the fire, I think, this afternoon and get it ready. We consider ourselves one of the only churches in the Message that smoke. And we're just excited, as they say in the South. And so we're looking forward to all that God has in store for us and all that our cooks have in store for us for the morrow. And so may the Lord richly bless you. Let's sing a little chorus, Have Your Way, as Brother Paul comes this morning. And you know what? Somebody has said it already, that they just would rather not be anywhere else at all in the world than right where we are today. And we just have a unique opportunity. It's not very often we come to church on Saturday morning and Friday night and just to be able to, you know, kind of set the weekend aside. So, hey, we might as well enjoy it. Might as well get the max. Get everything you can out of it. And come to God with specifics on your heart. Brother Branham, he told us, he said, ask big. He said, ask big. You shouldn't think you're going to intimidate God by asking something great. Hey, Brother Branham said he's an inexhaustible fountain of life. Let's stand to our feet this morning. Have your way.
Have your way. Have your way. This morning to him that I bring before his throne, and I'm sure that you feel the same way, and we need him more than we ever needed him before. And then next we need one another
to encourage one another and strengthen one another. And I feel privileged every time Brother Barry asks us down because it's always such a good fellowship. My children enjoy coming here and kind of consider this our second home. And I just feel like this weekend we're just amongst good people. I feel like I'm amongst quality believers here this weekend that have a real desire for mainly for the Word, the balance of the Word, the balance of what the message is. Can you say amen? And to be able to live it. It's just a simple need in all of us, but I really feel like I'm amongst quality people and the real cream of the crop. And so we feel very privileged to be a part of this, even if we weren't speaking. We're just glad to be here. And also Brother Jason's message was, Brother Jason, we really, really enjoyed that last night, particularly personally myself, just really enjoyed the Word. God bless you for it. And this weekend with Brother Aaron and Brother Jason, some of my favorite preachers. I know we're not supposed to have favorites, but I do have some. And I'm amongst some of my favorite this weekend, and including the old man here, Brother Barry. We enjoy his ministry as well. Has been very, very encouraging through the years, and his friendship as well. We appreciate, we love old people. We really do. Amen. We just appreciate. I'm going to read a couple places this morning, and if you get your Bibles, John chapter 16. And I couldn't really find, I tried to find a text for dedicating a fellowship hall in the Bible, and I couldn't find it. I tried, Brother Barry. I tried very hard, but I couldn't find anything. But I think something could be said about the good things that come from building a place that encourages fellowship. And that's what it's about. And in the times that we live in, I think that's a real good thing to dedicate something dedicated to the Word working in our lives and then the fellowship that comes from that. I think that's a good thing, and I think it's more important than it ever has been. It's more important today to be together around the Word and just to be together. In our area, we find that the devil's really working to separate people, to distance people from the body of Christ. The devil's working overtime to do that, so we have to work against that. And I think places like this help us to be able to get together more often. As you know, the Bible encourages, as the day approaches, not to be more distant, but actually to be together more. And a lot of good things can come from fellowship, even sometimes if you're not all the time talking about the Word. There's something good about believers being together, and it has a good effect upon your kids. Can you say, they can be anywhere and doing anything, but parents encourage them to be around this type of environment. You're going to have good things happen down the road for your children, because there's so many dynamics that play that you don't see when you're amongst good fellowship. And so I just appreciate being able to be a part of this. Let's read from John chapter 16, if you would, and verse 32. John 16, verse 32. And I'm just going to read this, just one scripture here. And then this is, of course, as Jesus is entering the time just before that he is taken with the Judas betraying him and selling him out, and then they were going to come and get him, and just after this, then they're going to go to the garden. So I'm going to read this, and then I'm going to go to Luke and read the account there just after he says this. So now here the disciples say in John 16 and verse 31, Jesus answered them, because they had just said, "We believe." Matter of fact, let's just read verse 29. His disciples said unto him, "Lo, now speakest thou plainly and speakest no proverb. Now are we sure that thou knowest all things and needest not that any man should ask thee. By this we believe that thou comest forth from God." So his disciples are all saying, "We believe." Jesus answered and said, "Now, do you now believe?" So he's asking them, "Do you now believe? Behold, the hour cometh, yea, is now come, that ye shall be scattered, every man to his own, and shall leave me alone, and yet I am not alone, because the Father is with me." So now go back, if you would, to Luke chapter 22, after Jesus speaks of this hour coming, and they did not know that hour is coming, but it came, and it was a darker hour than what it had ever been experienced before. Only Jesus knows that they're entering another time. They're entering another hour. And so now Jesus lets his disciples know, as much as they're saying, "We believe," and I believe they were believing because they're elect. First of all, they're elect. So they're anchored to something deeper within them than what they even realize. So they said, you've spoke plainly to us. Now we see it, we believe. They're speaking from their soul. I believe that. But he says, even though that you believe, we're getting ready to enter a dark hour here, and you'll be scattered even. Okay, so that's probably not the answer they wanted to hear. They probably want to be complimented on believing. But nevertheless, Jesus has to warn them of the hour that's coming. So I want to speak on the hour before the final hour, the hour before the final hour. So Luke chapter 22 is then, this is what happens next. Luke chapter 22, and let's pick it up here in verse 39. And he came out and went as he went to the Mount of Olives, and his disciples also followed him. And when he was at the place, he said unto them, pray that ye not enter not into temptation. And he was withdrawn from them about a stone's cast, and kneeled down and prayed, saying, Father, if thou be willing, remove this cup from me. Nevertheless, not my will, but thine be done. And there appeared an angel unto him from heaven, strengthening him. And being in an agony, he prayed more earnestly, and his sweat was, as it were, great drops of blood falling down to the ground. And when he rose up from prayer and was come to his disciples, he found them sleeping for sorrow, and said unto them, why sleep ye? Rise and pray, lest ye enter into temptation. And while he yet spake, behold, see, that's another reflection. Just pause and say that. That's another reflection that the disciples really, mentally, they did not know the hour they were entering into. They didn't know it like Jesus knew it. Because if they'd have known it, they would have been in more earnest prayer like him. And while he yet spake, behold, a multitude, and he that was called Judas, one of the 12, went before them and drew near unto Jesus to kiss him. But Jesus said unto him, Judas, betrayest thou the Son of Man with a kiss? That's a strange thing, isn't it? When they that were about him saw that what would follow, they said unto him, Lord, shall we smite him with a sword? And one of them, we know who it was, smote the servant of the high priest and cut off his right ear. And Jesus answered and said, suffer ye thus far. And he touched his ear and healed him. Listen to this now. Then Jesus said unto the chief priests and captains of the temple and the elders which were come to him, be ye come out as against a thief with swords and staves? And this is the part that I want you to catch. When I was daily with you in the temple, ye stretched forth no hands against me. But this is your hour. And the power of darkness. I want you to notice that Jesus has made a distinction that now we've entered another hour. And they, and these fellas taking him with swords, they didn't know the hour had changed. And so he says, he's marking the difference. I was with you in the temple. You respected me. I talked and you had respect even though you disagreed with me. But now the hour has changed. And because the hour has changed, you're no longer even respectful enough just to listen to me. Now you have swords to take me and to bring me to court. Why had they changed? Because the hour had changed. Then took they him and led him through and brought him unto the high priest's house, and Peter followed afar off. And when they had kindled a fire, and there's a change, by the way, right there too. There's a change in Peter. Okay? Because it wasn't just the world that had changed. It wasn't just the religious leaders. Peter also, under this hour, is changing. Not in his soul, but he's being affected. Because the same guy that just said, I'll go to prison with you and I'll die for you, once he gets into this hour in the garden, now he's following afar off. So this hour that they've entered, they didn't know, but it actually is having a bit of effect on everybody. And when they had kindled a fire in the midst of the hall and were set down together, Peter sat down among them, but a certain maid beheld him, and he sat by the fire and earnestly looked upon him and said, this man was also with him. And he denied him, saying, woman, I know him not. Amazing, amazing. Let's go back and read verse 53 again, because that's where I want to take my text. When I was daily with you in the temple, ye stretched forth no hands against me. But this is your hour and the power of darkness. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, what a joy to be in the house of God this morning, to be able to gather with these families. And Lord, just to be able to share some time in the Word. I pray that what I would say would be an encouragement to them, that it would be a positive word for them. And God, I just place it all within your hands as I've already prayed to you and put it in your hands. We just thank you, Lord, for this opportunity. commit it to you now. In Jesus' name, amen. God bless you. You may be seated. A few weeks ago, I was drawn to this scripture while I was in just a morning devotion and reading. And I was actually on a trip with my wife, a 25th anniversary trip, and I was just reading. And I was very drawn to this scripture in Luke. Never quite looked at it this way, but it drawn some questions in me to ask when Jesus responded. Never noticed it before, but Jesus responded to these men, making the distinction in how they were acting from the time before when he was in the temple, and now they're acting different. And some questions come to me. Questions like, why did Jesus say this is your hour? Why did he call it their hour? And why did he say the power of darkness? We know darkness is always present. Darkness is always there. And yet Jesus, when he entered this hour, he called it the power of darkness. And so it raised some questions. Now, if he called this their hour, then what was Jesus' hour? Because we realize that that hour can't continue forever. There has to be another hour for Jesus. Can you say amen? What is his hour? So there's some questions that come to me. So I want to break this down a bit this morning. I trust it'll be a blessing to you. And there's a million different subjects we could bring in a setting like this. But I believe this is in harmony even with Brother Jason, what he brought last night, so I can contribute. And I trust I can contribute to your spiritual journey and be a blessing to you somehow. That's the only reason that we're here. So now I want to break some things. I'm talking about their hour, and then I want to talk about his hour, and then the bride's hour. What is the bride's hour? What is the Son of Man's hour, and what is the bride's hour, which is actually the same hour, because we're under the ministry of the Son of Man. So, and also I would like to show how the hour can actually change under the Son of Man ministry, and things can change so quickly and we don't not realize it, but the hour can change even when we're under the message of the hour. And to show, if I can, by the grace of God, how that changes for us, the same way that it changed for the disciples, the same way that changed for Jesus himself 2,000 years ago, then how it's changing for us. But I want to say this as a positive note this morning. I believe that even though we're in a different hour, in a dark time, darker than it's ever been before, I believe the temptation is great. I enjoyed the scripture that Brother Jason referred to last night, that this persecution and this time is like no other. It's a different, we've always had pressure, can you say amen? But we've entered a different hour, and we feel that, we know that. But I want to say that the bride's finest hour is still ahead of us. Can you say amen? We've enjoyed the word, we've enjoyed a restored word, we're enjoying it this weekend. But I personally believe we still have the finest times ahead of us coming. We haven't reached the final hour yet, can you say amen? And so we'll hope that'll spill over into tomorrow morning a little bit. But I will summarize a lot of these things because for time's sake. But I would encourage you to read these scriptures from the Garden of Gethsemane all the way through. Before that, when Jesus was speaking for about 4.5 chapters to his disciples personally, encouraging them, strengthening them. As soon as Judas left, and we may get to that this morning, as soon as Judas walked from the Last Supper is when Jesus began to talk very intimately with his disciples. He began to encourage them because he's trying to let them know that we're going to enter a dark hour, we're going to enter a dark time, and I'm at that time I'm going to leave you, but he says, I won't leave you comfortless, can you say amen? So he's taken all this time to encourage them, and then finally they all enter that hour together. But I believe that the Lord Jesus, he always gives us what we need if we're entering a different hour. Can you say amen? As the Bible says, he won't let us be tempted above what we can bear, but makes a way of escape. So you can study those things yourself, but I just want to summarize in a lot of things here this morning. Now, to be simple, so that the youngest can understand it, the word hour, we realize, doesn't refer to a 24-hour, 60-minute period, but it refers to, when we refer to as believers, of course, this may be very simple too, but I want to make sure everybody understands. The word hour refers to not 60 minutes, but it refers to a season of time in the Bible. And the prophet of the age, Brother Branham, was in the same language he referred to this term, the hour, quite often. And you'll find in the book of John it's referred to quite often. And also, Brother Branham refers to it because he wants to make the people aware of the hour, of the season. When they enter a different hour, like the hour when Malachi 4 will begin to be manifested. Malachi 4, 5, and 6. Well, when they enter that, when he was on the earth, then even Brother Branham himself, without saying that he's the one, he wants to make the people realize we're in a different hour, we're in a different time. Before Malachi 4 was fulfilled, now it's being fulfilled in front of your eyes. So that's the hour of that. So that's the season of it. And the prophet uses this term, and we use them now. The word of the hour is what Brother Branham taught us. The word of the hour. The message of the hour. Can you say amen? These are our terms. And the light of the hour. The light of the day. Can you say amen? And so it means that it's the present season of what God is doing now. And how many know that it's crucial that we know the hour that we're in? Amen. That's the distinction in the elect, is they catch the hour that they're in. The rest of the world doesn't catch it. But the bride must know the hour she's in and catch the season that she's in. Brother Branham taught us, he says, men are always praising God for what he's done in the past and looking forward to what he's going to do in the future and missing the hour they're in now. What a tragedy, can you say, amen? And so we can't miss the hour that we're in. And so then let me lay this foundation that we are now under the ministry of the Son of Man. And the ministry of the Son of Man itself is a different hour and a different time. God sends a prophet to introduce the message and introduce the Messiah as he sent John the Baptist. But then when the Messiah comes and the Son of Man begins to manifest, that in itself is a different season. It's a different hour. Brother Branham taught us that the whole term, the Son of Man, means that Christ, the same Christ that reveals himself throughout ages, in this Son of Man ministry, it's a different type of revealing. It's the same Christ, but it's different than a revealing of Son of God. It's different than a revealing of Son of David. Son of David, he sits on the throne. Can you say amen? Son of God is in the ministration of the Holy Spirit. But this selective time of the revealing of the Son of Man is the same Christ, but it's a different hour. It's a different revealing of Christ. And we wouldn't have known those things except the prophet brought it out. Is everybody with me this morning? I'm laying some foundations. I'll try not to take too much time doing it, but I want everybody to understand. Maybe there's somebody here this morning that, you know, don't have a clue what I'm talking about as far as Son of Man. I want you to understand that when Jesus 2,000 years ago came, he referred to himself all the time as Son of Man. And people think, well, that's just another term for him. No, he was saying that this is a different revealing of God being in a human being. And so now it's a different revealing. And we're under this ministry of Jesus revealing himself in the office of Son of Man. Same Jesus, but clearly different type of revealing. And a different purpose in it. While we read the four Gospels, we see the acts of Jesus Christ. And the Christian world has worked off of that. If they have a lack of revelation of the revelation of Christ or the mystery of Christ. You see, these are terms that Paul began to use. That if you don't see, there's a revealing that went on that Paul was bringing to the church that was different than just Jesus on earth for 4 years. Paul's the first one that began to use the term the mystery of Christ. Not just Christ, not his acts that took place in the four Gospels, but I'm preaching the mystery of Christ. John, when he wrote Revelations, was the first one to refer to the revelation of Christ. So we don't just have the four Gospels where they have the acts of Jesus. And so now we all, our whole goal is just to imitate and, get a bracelet that says, what would Jesus do? And read the four Gospels and try to imitate it. It's deeper than that. There's a mystery in Christ like there was a mystery in Adam. Eve was in Adam. So this is what Paul began to bring, is that mystery that's in Christ. And so now the Christian world, for the most part, has worked off of that, taking and presenting Christ in the way that they know. And it's all good. I'm not being critical. It's all good. If it's the Jesus of the Bible, then praise the Lord for it. It's all good. It's a wonderful thing. But seeing Jesus as Son of Man holds a mystery within it that's deeper than just the acts of Jesus in the four Gospels. There's a bride within this mystery. That's why two or three places when Brother Branham talks about the Son of Man and the distinction of Son of God and Son of David and Son of Man, a couple places he uses the term husband and wife. Because in this revealing of Jesus, it's not just him, but it's Christ being revealed in his bride as well. And that's the ministry we're under. Can you say amen? So this manner of the Son of Man was mainly to be revealed two main times, because Jesus did it when he was here 2,000 years ago. But when he referred to the end time, he said, as it was in the days of Noah, so shall it be in the coming of the Son of Man. As it was in the days of Lot. So he gives us the setting. When we reach the day that it's like Sodom, when we reach the day that it's like Lot and it's like Noah's day, then we know there's going to be this different revealing of the Son of Man again. God showed it to the Jews. Now he's going to show it to the Gentiles. I know these are simple things for many of you, but say amen anyway. Give me a break. So Jesus, and tomorrow, Lord, when we get into, this is why Jesus had the term. He says, the hour is coming and now is. Because there's an hour of the Son of Man happening then, but 2,000 years later, it's coming as well. The hour is coming and now is. So this is a great hour. This is a great time. Hey, listen, this is one of the best times to live in all of history. Can you say amen? Not just to be under a prophet, but be under the revealing of the Son of Man. And you're not a spectator in this. He's actually revealing it through you too, my brother and sister. Amen. What a time to live in. Can you say amen? Hallelujah. So, in looking back, we see him entering 2,000 years ago. We see him entering this ministry after he was, of course, baptized. Then we see him, and actually he's a bit hesitant, because in the first wedding that he attends with Mary, she's there, and Jesus went to this wedding, he's invited. And so Mary, actually knowing what he was supposed to do, she's catching what he's supposed to do. And I don't know if this was a motherly instinct or whatever it is, but they need wine. And she comes to Jesus and said, hint, hint, they need wine. You know, I don't know what all is going on there, but she, hint, hint, you know, they have a need here, and I know you can do it. All right? And then she goes, and Jesus says to her, said, woman, not mom. What, woman, what are you doing? This is not my hour. That was his term. So it was very important to realize that, you know, I just make this point. We don't mechanically try to bring on that hour. Hey, woman, don't try to mechanically do this in your own strength. When it's time for it and the hour is here, he will begin to administer this hour. Look how sensitive Jesus is to wait for the right time. And she wasn't too off track, because she went to them and said, points over to Jesus and says, I know you need wine. Go to that man, and whatever he says do it. So they went, and Jesus turned the water into wine. His first miracle. See, what, she wasn't too off track, because this was a launching of the first pull. He hadn't bring the word yet, not into the third pull yet. But it is the launching of an hour, because the first poles begin to manifest. Praise be to God. All that are believers are saying amen, because you know we've been under the same thing. We've seen all these things. And so now we see him entering this now, in this hour. And so let's move on. But as we move forward in the days of his ministry, we see then that all the attributes of the Son of Man manifest. First of all, the healings, and then we see the second pole. We see the revealing of the secrets of hearts, or telling people that. We see all the different facets. mostly the miracles at the beginning, and then he, in John chapter 6, he begins to break some things to the people listening to him that separates the crowd. And we realize that's when you begin to cross over into bringing a deeper word, or a word that's that even his 70 that were following said, this is too hard, this is a difficult saying. And they left him, and he's left with 12. So under this ministry of the Son of Man, this will not build mega churches. If that's the Jesus that you're preaching and it's building a mega church, it's probably not the Jesus of the Bible. Because under this Son of Man, it actually whittles down the crowd as you bring the word. Praise the Lord. You know, we've heard these things preached for many years, but I'm having fun doing it this morning. You say, what are you doing here? Well, I'm relaxing. My son Solomon said, Dad, I'll go with you this weekend. Let's go. But one thing, I want you to relax. Solomon, what am I doing? I'm relaxing. Is that okay with everybody? I enjoy talking about these things. I enjoy saying the fact that in one chapter, John chapter 6, he goes from 5,000 followers to 12, and one's a devil. And that's in one chapter. How do you go from 5,000 saying, wanting to make him a king? This is it. This is the time. But in one chapter, he says a few things, very few things. And he's down to 12 followers, and one of them is a devil. Ministry of the Son of Man. He's not out just to vindicate himself by miracles. I want to make a strong point that our vindication is not just to prove that God can do miracles. That's not the full message vindication. God did that already. Can you say amen? Does he still do it? Oh, yes, he does. I'll say, like I said to my church Wednesday night, I don't need another miracle for God to do to get me to believe. I'm all in. Can you say amen? If he never did another miracle, I'm fine. I'm not going anywhere. But we need him to do miracles for the unbelievers and for our children to see that God is among us. He goes in here. So now, you know, all these things begin to happen under the Son of Man. But so now I got to move forward. So now, moving forward in the days of ministry, I think it's important now to notice that under that whole hour of the Son of Man, now we reach a time at the end that Jesus himself says the hour has changed. The hour has changed. Even under the ministry of the Son of Man, the hour has changed. We're going to enter a different time now. They moved into a different thing. And the emphasis would be changed. And it won't be as a public ministry. And they're going to enter a dark time, which will be a challenge and a testing time. The hour of temptation. I think the Philadelphian age, he referred to the hour of temptation. He said, I have prayed for you that you will be able to be sustained through the hour of temptation. This is the Garden of Gethsemane. You're going to enter the hour of temptation. Pray that you not enter not in temptation. Jesus prayed more earnestly. Can you say amen? Because the elect, they won't be tempted to fall, but they're going to enter an hour of temptation. It's going to be a challenging time for everybody, including the elect. So now, he enters this different season, and I just want to make the point that if they entered that season, and we're entering that season today, then I think it's important that we know the season that we're in, that it's not a time to reach back to the comfort blanket of 30 years ago in the message. I'm jumping right to the end and saying that now. Is that I think it's not good for us, if we're in this time, to try to reach back into a past hour, even in this message. And we have influences in the message that want to get us to do that, to reach back and to live in the days of William Branham, or to live in a time past. That's not what God wants us to do. He wants us to know how to pray in the hour that we're living. Because we're not back 30 years ago. We're reaching the final hour of this thing. This thing is wrapping up. Can you say amen? It's almost over. The finest hours is ahead of us here. The greatest vindication of this message is still ahead of us. But we're going to see in the scripture, just before that final hour, there's a very dark hour that we go through. Because that's what happened back then. So I'll say it again. It would be wrong to reach back into some comfort blanket of 30 years ago in the message. And I'm only saying it because I see so many people doing it. Go back and talk about what happened back then and relive those days. Because people get nervous under the hour we live in. What's going on? What's happening? You know, I can't. It's not the rapture. And we're kind of, it seems like nothing going on. So the human beings tend to reach back. And if I can talk about the old days, and you know, I can build faith. And I'm not against giving God glory for what he did and by testimony back then. I'm not against that. But there's no way that we can live in this hour if we live in the glare of a past hour. We have to pray and say, where am I at right now? As a young person, where am I at right now? How do I live an overcoming life right now in the hour that we're in? And that's where you ask, what did Jesus do? That's where you get the bracelet, what would Jesus do? Because I want to know how. That's how I'll end this sermon today, if I get there in the next 30 minutes. I want to know, this may be simple to you this morning, but this is how kind of preacher I am. When I get done seeing all this Son of Man, see all this, then I say, what was Jesus doing in that hour? Because whatever he was doing, that's what I want to be doing. That's just as simple as dirt, but that's the way I look at it. Praise the Lord. So maybe we should print up some bracelets, Brother Barry. What would Jesus do? Praise the Lord. So now, I might say this, that we will mostly find the things I'll talk about in the book of John. And I believe the reason that that's so much more of a theme or harmony, because remember, and just take a minute on this, John, out of the four Gospels, was under the eagle anointing. The same anointing as our prophet of this hour. So John's, it's the same Jesus, but John's perspective of Jesus was a different, don't take different by being, it's a different Jesus. It's a different perspective of Jesus. Here's an example. All the other three Gospels give the birth of Christ, and they give the details, and Mary and Joseph and all that. John doesn't do that. You know how John begins the birth of Christ? Not at the birth. He says, in the beginning was the Word. So under the eagle anointing, John presents Jesus as the Word. Not as a healer and not as the other things. He's the Word. And our prophet did the same thing under an eagle anointing. He's the first one that kept emphasizing. Other preachers may have said it, but he emphasized, don't forget, Jesus is the Word. Made flesh. In your age. He's the Word of every age, made flesh. That's Christ. That's why Jesus emphasized that. You know, I had an opportunity a few weeks ago to speak at a Baptist church. They've been asking our family to come and sing for many years. So this time they asked me to preach their Sunday morning homecoming. And they had enough confidence to have me speak. And so, yes, of course, I prayed about it, and I felt led to take this invitation to come. They actually, I didn't know until after, but they've actually come out of the Baptist church, and they're independent now. But you know what I talked about? I talked about Jesus knocking on the door and the Laodicean age and things like that. But you know what I emphasize? That Jesus is the Word. So who's knocking trying to get in? The Word has been put out of the church. So, when I'm preaching, and I'm not bragging, I'm just saying, they're looking at Jesus in a different way they ever seen him. In this mental conception of a physical Jesus, and he's trying to knock on the door's heart, it goes a lot deeper than that. We have an entire church age that has put the Word out. And I said, when you put the Word out, you put Christ's presence out. You put Christ out. Praise the Lord. And they were very receptive. Let's be praying that the Lord will continue to reveal himself to them. So, as we look at the events then, we see they enter a different hour. I like what Brother Jason said, that in Psalms 27, the time of trouble, we've always had trouble. But this Psalms 27 has to be a different trouble. It is a different trouble. And so it's a different, we've always had tribulations, but not like this. So we see then Judas, a disciple of Jesus, this is what starts happening in this hour. Judas, a disciple of Jesus, was in the message all along, right along with Jesus, the treasurer of Jesus, helping him out, a disciple of Jesus. Judas betrays Jesus, and he leaves. And so then as they enter in the Garden of Eden, Garden of Gethsemane, he says, pray that you enter not in temptation. Why? It's the hour for it. Already brought that out. And he's asking his disciples to pray because the hour is an hour of temptation. In other words, the hour will try us to the very core of who we are. And I'm talking about elect as well. The hour, you can't do anything about it. You enter that time, and it's a time of trying us to the very core of who we are. Trying us mentally. Trying us and bringing us things that we can't understand, and some things we'll never understand it. So what an hour that is. So we watch then in this incident where the hour is doing and affecting. And the first thing that we have Judas betraying him. He tells his disciples to pray. And it won't take long on this, but look at Peter. Now look at Peter. It gets a little comical, and it gets a little strange how Peter is acting because he's a few minutes before he had said, you know, I'll stand with you. I'll go to prison. Now he's grabbing a sword and swiping the ear off of one of the soldiers. It wasn't intended for his ear, no doubt. He was very much in a fervor, very much in his own energy. And he's acting extreme. He's acting emotionally. Now, no, none of you have ever done that before. Peter's acting extreme. And Jesus had to settle him down and say, you know, what are you doing here? You know? Settle down. You know why? It was the hour. Peter didn't understand the hour. And I just want to make this point. There has to be a lot of grace for people these days. Been a pastor 30 years. Been a critical pastor. But the Lord's showing me through little things like this, because we're in a different hour, we have to have a lot of grace for people. And be careful we don't label them something right away. But because it might be the effect of the hour that's changing them temporarily or emotionally affecting them to act and do and say things that we would judge too quickly. Can you say amen? If any of us would have been standing there and knowing what we know and watching Peter do this, we would have been pretty critical. It's like, what in the world are you doing? Jesus was almost saying that himself. No. But Jesus understood Peter's reacting in an emotional way because he doesn't understand the hour. So, but what's funny is that he's swiping the soldier, and just a few minutes later, under this hour, the same man denies him three times and says clearly to this woman, I don't know the man. Now, friends, listen, we don't like to read scriptures like this, but that's a pretty straight denial. And this is an elect. This is a son of God. And I love to be able to preach and say, yeah, you know, he should have been powerful and strong and all the other things. Praise the Lord. But he wasn't. Now, I know you're thinking in your heart, he didn't have the Holy Ghost yet. Jesus said, when you're converted, strengthen the brethren. I'm totally aware of that. But that's what we need to be aware of in this hour. Because you may have an elected seed there that don't have the Holy Ghost yet. They're still to get it. One of the reasons we're still here is probably they need to get it. You might be sitting here this morning and holding this whole thing up because you need the birth of the Holy Ghost. But I'm looking at the other side of it, how critical we can be if somebody reacting that way. And, you know, but to me, Peter's acting emotional. You can call me a psychologist all you want to. He's emotionally being affected by the hour that he's in, and he's acting to extremes. Just like Brother Jason said last night, we live in an extreme age. The whole atmosphere has gone to extremes. Politically, everybody's acknowledging on the news, we've reached a time of extremes. You know, I'm not going to be political this morning either, but I will say this. It's really funny to sit back and watch all this because for years, the Democrats and the Republicans have been going back and forth and saying these words, we should be outraged at this. We should be outraged. I can't believe there's evidence. We should be outraged. But you know what they're saying now? People become outraged and they're concerned about the outrage. I am very concerned about the outrage on the other side. Well, but you were promoting it. You were saying we should be, and now it's reached, it's not a boiling point anymore. People are acting strange because it's an extreme time. I personally think believers shouldn't get caught up in all that. You watch enough of that or you listen to enough of that, you can get caught right up in it. I need to choose sides and you start acting extreme, start, you know, blowing stuff off and saying this about Trump or against Trump or for Trump, and you get caught. Listen, that's not our position to get involved in that. I want to remind everybody, you go ahead and vote how you want. Sometimes I vote, sometimes I don't. There's a debate, you know, whether we should vote or not, but I'm staying out of that. I'm just reminding you. Brother Bram said that both parties are corrupt. There's not one moral than the other. That's why it's such a double standard for them to accuse a justice coming up with something he did in high school when they're sitting there, no telling what they did in high school. But I'm not being political this morning and getting into it, am I? No. You see how you can get caught up in that and just go on? No. We should be outraged. No, we shouldn't. Can I take my coat off this morning? I always wish I could preach like Brother Jason. So I wore a brown suit to see if it helped this morning. And it's, I don't know if it's helping or not. So what hour we're living in is affecting Peter. We won't spend too much time. You understand. And I realized that he needed the Holy Ghost. But remember now, emotions is emotions. I think I preached this last time here. I brought up the point that Peter with the Holy Ghost had prejudice that God had to deal with. Okay? So let's be careful. The power to be able to overcome is found in the Holy Ghost. And that's what Peter and the disciples needed. We understand that. But even after some emotional spirit realm thing has taken place, you have to overcome. I'm going to go ahead and say it. That's the way I believe it. That, you know, just like the promised land, when they entered across Jordan, they hadn't overcome anything yet. When you receive the Holy Ghost, you haven't overcome anything yet. You have the power to start overcoming. I don't believe these things that's it. You get it. I believe you're sealed until the day of redemption. But remember, it says, grieve not the Holy Spirit. So you have the potential in your flesh, even with the Holy Ghost, to grieve His Spirit. And I do believe there's a growing to adoption. But they hadn't overcome anything. So you receive the power to overcome with the Holy Ghost. But even with that, you see, people will go through ups and downs, ins and outs, say and do things that they shouldn't say. I'm not justifying sin. I don't believe a person with the Holy Ghost would go back into a life of sin. I don't believe that. But they will say and do things that us other believers say, you wonder. Why'd they say that? What are they doing? Sometimes it's the hour. Don't write them off. Can I take a moment and say that people left the message? People are on the fence. People are going to message churches like this. Some of them are on the fence. A lot of things, people are in different stages. But we don't have a right. We're not prophets, so we don't have a right to judge where they're at and make a conclusion on them at all. Even the ones that look like Judases, because I can name some, that it sure looks like they're playing the part of Judas. But we still don't have right to call them personally a Judas. Because we just don't know. The hour has changed. We're in a different time. And it's time for us to be like Christ. Can you say amen? So Peter is being emotionally affected because it's times of extremes. Why? Why is Peter acting this way? Because he's a loser? No, he's an elect. It's a different hour. It's affecting him. There's a wide range of reactions going on during this testing hour. It's manifesting what's inside everyone. It's a crazy time. It's a crazy hour. It's crazy in this hour. Brother Ben says people go totally insane. People are going insane. People are going off their rocker. They're doing and saying crazy, crazy things. You know, we just moved into a house that we raised our kids when they were young in, and I had a neighbor there that years ago that was always complaining about things. She has all of her herbs and everything in the backyard, and big herb garden and all these things, and she was always getting on me in case my pool water went into her yard or things. And so I was hoping when I moved back in that she had, you know, moved on. I'm saying that politely. I almost said passed away, but no, so I was thinking she was gone. I thought, you know what, I don't think she's over there anymore. I'm not sure. So I'm in the front yard one day of my house, and there's a boy next door, and he's walking his dog. There's a car that pulls up in his driveway. She gets out, and I go, oh, she's still here. Has she straightened out? Is she any more mentally balanced? Is she? I'm wondering. She walks up to that boy walking the dog in his front yard, and she says, you need to not walk that dog in the front yard because of pollution from the cars. You need to walk him in your backyard because there's less pollution in the backyard than in the front yard. So I'm going to, yeah. So that boy, he's about 13 years old, and he's going, no, he's looking over at me. Okay, ma'am. So I'm hoping she gets in the car, but sure enough, she's not getting in the car. She's walking towards me. Oh, what's she going to say to me? She comes over to me, and she's dealing with the fireworks. Do you know who's setting off fireworks every night at midnight? Do you know what's going on? Would you help me call the police and deal with this? I want to get to the bottom of this because I can't sleep, and it's disturbing. She says, it's disturbing the tranquility of everybody in this neighborhood, the peace. I said, well, you know what? I'm not living here yet. I'm just getting it ready to move into. And, you know, so I don't know. I don't want to get involved. You know, I don't know what's happening at night. I'm not living here yet. But I will remind you, lady, that it is around July 4th. So I got to add this in. While I'm talking to her, the boy's in the backyard walking his dog. And he looks over at me and he goes, so you know what I do? Every day that boy is walking his dog in the front yard, I go to him and say, what are you doing? You need to get back there in that backyard. You're killing that dog, man. Can't you see the pollution's greater here than in your backyard? People go crazy. A little bit extreme, can you say, man? I believe in health, but people can go to extremes. I understand Brother Doug Baker last night in the meetings over there said, you know, about essential oils. He said, those things are okay. Got your number, some of your number there. But I like what he said. He says, those things are okay, but there's only one essential oil. Yeah. Amen. Praise the Lord. So Jesus tells, what am I doing, Solomon? I'm relaxing, okay? I think he thinks that he's got a pretty tense dad sometimes. So now, here's where we've got to get. So now, if you have your Bibles now, just quickly, two verses. Jesus begins talking to these men that brought the swords now. So John chapter 7 and verse 30 says, John 7 and verse 30. Verse 29, Jesus said, but I know him, for I am from him. So he's making some pretty strong statements here. And the religious leaders respond, verse 3, then they sought to take him, but no man laid hands on him because his hour was not yet come. And it says it again in chapter 8 and verse 20. You can study all these, but this is throughout talking about the hour changing. He says in verse 20, these words spake Jesus in the treasury as he taught in the temple, and no man laid hands on him, for his hour was not yet come. So this is what he said to them when they got swords. Every day in the temple I was with you, you didn't lay hands on me, but now something's changed. And something has, the hour has changed, and you're acting different than you acted before. Why now? They didn't know it, but Jesus knew it. The hour had changed, and under that, they turned against him. The hour had changed, and people who had enough respect for it before to let him talk now changed, and they got bold enough now to lash out and take this thing to court to be charged. People who were respectful before now moved into an hour. I'm going to do some research on this thing, and I'm bringing this whole message. And William Brand, I'm going to bring it all before my own court. And I'm going to judge this whole thing. We didn't enter that hour till message people leaving and doing that. We didn't enter that till a few years ago. Very significant. So we see this taking place. The hour has changed. People have changed in the message. Many things are heartbreaking to us, discouraging, and I don't want to stay too negative here, but I'm just saying to you what I learned from this personally as a pastor and as a believer in this hour, that it helps me to understand that clearly I have seen this happen where the hour has changed. People have changed. And you ask, why do people that once believed totally turn against and bring accusations now? Why does commitment and loyalty change so swiftly in people today? How can someone have respect and confidence in even my ministry, and in a moment it all changes and then accusations come? These are things that I experience. How can people be so supportive of what you're doing for years in your own church, and in a moment, not respectfully leave, but in a moment completely change to the other extreme, calling you a devil? And when you know this, you understand it's the hour. Can I get an amen? There's no sense losing sleep over it. There's no sense believers losing sleep over this and trying to figure it all out. It's the hour that we've entered into. And if, you know, then you look at scriptures like Jesus said, Matthew 20, many shall betray one another. The love of many will grow cold. It's the hour. It's the time. Can you say amen? Why do people want Jesus preached in their church? They want him, but they rejected Jesus when he's revealed as Son of Man. They want a different Jesus. It's the hour. Why do people make decisions, major ones sometimes, based on fear or nervousness or the flesh? Not praying and not resting in leadership or trying to get leadership. They just make crazy decisions. And sometimes even believers will make some crazy decisions. The prophet said in 1963, the pastors in Tucson were complaining to him that people won't come out to Wednesday night church. Pastors, denominational pastors are complaining, can't get people to come out to Wednesday night church. They're staying home and watching television shows. That was denominationals. Now, I see, in this hour, there's a lot of people who don't attend church Wednesday nights and don't come, doing many other things, while the preaching of the Son of Man is taking place. Now, you can get all upset about that. You can get all irritated about it. And you are burdened for it. That's fine. But listen, it's the hour that we've entered into. Prophet said in response to that, we need a revival. We have a revival in the Word that's come back to us. This is the bride's revival. Can you say amen? But it has to be an individual revival at a personal level. This isn't a church revival. It's not just the message is having a revival. But you have to have a personal revival in your heart. Can you say amen? Enthused by what God is showing to you. Praise the Lord. People get nervous. They can't settle down. People can't trust one another. And I'm not just talking about the world now. I'm talking about believers sometimes. People run from things because of fears and past fears. What is it? It's the hour. So much more could be said about this. We have lack of time. But I just want to say all under that hour became affected. Judas's betrayal kiss. Some lose respect and they're ready to stand in court against Christ. Some just scatter, as Jesus said in my text that I read to you. They said, we believe. And he said to his own elect, he says, in just a few hours, you will all scatter from me. You say, well, Brother Paul, I haven't scattered. I haven't went anywhere. But maybe you have been scatterbrained sometimes. just bringing it up to date a little bit. Scattering could just not be physically leaving the church, but you're scattered in your thoughts. Why? Because of the hour. Because of the time. Praise the Lord. And he warns of that. And so, but you know, praise the Lord, all the true believers, even though they scattered, all believers came back because they're elected to come back. And you say, man, you might get scatterbrained, but if you're elect, you're coming back. There's something within you deeper than your own self, deeper than your thoughts, deeper than your mental capacity. Can you say amen? Something deeper is within you, and you're coming back because you are an elected of God. They all came back. Receive the Holy Ghost. Can you say amen? Praise the Lord. That's why we don't write anyone off. We don't have a right to do that. This effect of the darkness was described in the message Shalom. And I don't have time to read it all, but you read it as Brother Branham begins to see a deeper darkness in the people. He says, you know, it seems like men are not masculine anymore and women are not feminine. And he describes, he says, people, they want to do right, but they just can't seem to do right. And he's describing something that he's seen that's a deeper darkness, even in 1960. Four, when he preached Shalom, he's seeing a deeper darkness. Matter of fact, one place he says, I don't see anything past 1977. And so we're from that point, we're entering levels of darkness after the prophet leaves, that it seems impossible for any human being to be able to make it through it. And so he's seeing this and he's given the attributes of it. Men are not men and all these things. It's because we're entering a different hour. But I want to say this as a positive note. He described perfectly why the darkness is increasing and becomes what's called gross darkness. He said there's a reason why it's accumulating and darker. It's because it is the rising of the sun. He said just at the beginning when a new day is beginning to dawn. And the sun is beginning to rise for a millennium that's coming. That's why the darkness is becoming thicker. Because there's another hour that's coming. Oh, in the morning, I hope I can talk about it in the morning, friends. The bride's finest hour is just upon us. Our best days are ahead. Can you say amen? But when you got the sun rising in the morning, boy, you start getting excited. You can go through the darkness easier because a new day is already dawning. And that's why it's so dark. Praise the Lord. You talk a little bit about a little kid. And you tell a little boy or a little girl, say, you know what, he's been begging to go to the zoo. I want to go see the zoo, Dad. I want to go to the zoo. I want to go to the zoo, you know, so. He hounds mom and dad for months. I want to go to the zoo or I want to go for ice cream. I want to go for ice cream. So can't do it. Parents can't do it. So finally the parents say, on this particular day, on Wednesday, we're going to go and we're going to go to the zoo. Or on this day, on Wednesday, we're going to go get ice cream. I promise you, we're going to go get ice cream. Jack, I promise you, we're going to go get ice cream today. He's all excited about it. Promised him last night. You better meet your promise, boy. That kid will live for that day of Wednesday to go to that zoo because now he's got a promise, right? So he can be excited. It's coming. But then a lot of times he gets to the night before, and it's like a lot of us when we're going on a trip the next day, when we really need to sleep and we can't sleep. You know, we got a 5 o'clock flight and we should be sleeping and we can't sleep all night. It's ridiculous. I hate it. This little kid, he don't sleep all night. Why? Because he's the night before. So now, as he's staying up all night because he's just so excited, we're just before the day. And then he looks out his window and he can see a little crest of light coming. It's pitch black. It's dark in his room. It's dark everywhere. It's darker than it's ever. It's the last moment of just the thick darkness. And yet, he starts to get excited because he sees a little ray of light coming up in the sunrise. And he gets, this is it. This is the day. No more days to wait. It's the rising of the sun. This is when I get to go to the zoo. And he runs into mom and dad's room and wakes them up. This is it. So what are you doing? We're not going till noon. We're not going to be there till noon. Or actually between 6 and 9. We're going to go between 6 and 9. Somebody say praise the Lord. But this is the day. They're all, go back to bed. Go back and get settled. And now this is the day. He's excited. But it's so dark out. It's dark in his room. The parents want to sleep. But no, he's excited because even though it's dark, if he sees that the day has arrived, it affects his attitude. Can you say amen? May that affect our attitude. That the reason we're going through this hour of darkness is there's the final hour that's upon us. Amen. Praise the Lord. So you read that in Shalom because it describes it. Now turn with me if you would. Wow. Time. John 12. Let me try to break this down real quickly. And then we'll read a couple quotes and jump out. John 12, verse 23. Okay, so we're moving along here. And Jesus says here, he's also talking about this. Now, Jesus answered them, verse 23, chapter 12, the hour is come that the Son of Man should be glorified. So he's saying this at the end of his ministry now. The hour has come that the Son of Man. So we all said, praise God, this is it. That's his finest hour. The Son of Man is glorified. He's going to depart from this world. Look what he says next. Verily I say unto you, except a corn of wheat fall into the ground and die, it abideth alone. But if it die, it bringeth forth much. What are you talking about? This is the hour to be glorified. What are you talking about dying? What are you talking about going in the ground? What's the? Because this is what I'm trying to describe to you. Before that last hour, there's another hour in front of it. He that loveth his life shall lose it, and he that hateth his life in this world shall keep it unto eternal life. If any man serve me, let him follow me, and where I am, there shall also my servant be. If any man serve me, him will my Father honor. Now is my soul troubled. Now this is Jesus talking, and his soul is troubled. He's just said that the hour has come for me to be glorified, but his soul is troubled. His spirit, he's troubled. It shows that human side. And what shall I say? Father, save me from this hour. Save me from the hour he's glorified? No. Save me for what's coming in the next few days. He said it in the garden, if it be possible, let this cup pass. That's the human part speaking. This is too, I can't bear this hour. It's too much. Even in Jesus himself was troubled about it. If you get troubled about it, just hold steady. But don't feel bad because you feel troubled. Jesus felt troubled. God, is there any way to save me? He says, save me from this hour. But look at his answer. But... for this cause came I into this hour. There was something deeper in Jesus than his trouble, than his sorrow. Can you say amen? It was a revelation that even though my flesh is troubled by the hour, I'm for this hour. I'm predestinated to go through this hour. Can you say amen? That's what we need, friends. It's what Brother Jason was speaking last night. How do you have all this around you? It's because you're holding a revelation and the authority within you. Can you say amen? And I love how he brought it. It's not some mental thing. It's not you overcoming mechanically. You have the overcomer within you. He will overcome within you. Father, save me from this hour. But for this cause came I into the earth. Father, glorify thy name. Then came there a voice from heaven saying, I have both glorified it and will glorify it again. Once again, the two manifestations of the Son of Man. One time here, 2,000 years ago, next time in his bride, I will glorify his name. Two times I will glorify it and glorify it again. Praise the Lord. So I got to move along. So now this is the part that I didn't get to. If Jesus said to these men, this is your hour. What did he mean? This is your hour. This is not mine hour. He had a finer hour coming. Even though he had to come through their hour. He's calling it their hour. He still had to endure through their hour. I think there's a lot we have to suffer and endure. Why? Why? This is not really our hour yet. Our hour is still coming. Let them go ahead and mock the message. Let them go ahead and make fun of you. Young person, let them go ahead and make fun of you and everything. Let them enjoy it. Our hour is still coming. We're not have our best hour yet. Jesus knew this. That's why he could stand in this time. He understood all the crazy extremes and people acting extreme. And of his own congregation, they're acting extreme. But he loved them through anyway. Amen? And so, you know, as we see, it reminds me of something Brother Bram says, that man that's out in the bar and he's drinking and he's acting so joyous and like he's got real joy and he has a temporal joy. He says, don't criticize that man. That's the only joy he'll ever see. Unless you share Christ and they embrace Christ and come to the true joy, that's the only fun they're going to see. That's the only party. They're having a party life. Can you say amen? What a shame when Christians look and say, well, they look like they're having the real fun. They're not having the real fun. But he says, don't criticize them because that's the only joy they'll ever have. Why? Because there's another hour coming for the bride. There's a millennium coming for the bride. This is the only party and joy they'll have. And that's why he says, this is your hour. This is your time. Enjoy the fact. Here he's taking Jesus to court and, you know, on the social media, just taking the message apart and having fun doing it. Let them go ahead and do it. Don't try to debate it. You see, friends, I hope I can say this right so you understand and not, I don't want to be controversial, but I'm just saying, people spend so much time trying to vindicate Brother Branham and vindicate this message to people. And first of all, God vindicates it himself. But you're trying to vindicate and convince somebody, and you're on there trying to just do something. But you see now, a person that's taken a spirit already against it, I don't care what you say to try to vindicate it. It's vindicated to you in your heart, but I don't care what you say. It's never going to be vindicated to them. If you're dealing with a spirit and this type of spirit, the hours is there's nothing you can do. Can you say amen? Unless God gives that person a revelation. So we spend time trying to vindicate it, and yet God has already vindicated it. And really, if the truth were told, we're not trying to spend a lot of time vindicating and proving that Brother Branham was a prophet. I think that we're past it. Now, if someone sincerely asks me what I believe, and I take them through that, and they want to know what about this prophet stuff, I'm going to take them through the scriptures. Can you say amen? But getting on the social media and trying to debate with somebody who's already made up their mind, and they want to get them to try to vindicate it, we're not to try to vindicate it to somebody. It wouldn't matter what you said in some cases. And really, are we trying to go back and continually, is that what the message is all about, to keep trying to vindicate that Brother Branham was a prophet? I think that we've moved on. And I want to remind all of us of a quote that Brother Branham says. He says, this age is to prove to Satan that this Eve is not like the first Eve. He didn't say that this age is to prove Malachi 4 and to prove that. And that's been proved and God has done it. But I don't think we should spend all the time trying to prove that. When Brother Branham says the real ultimate final end here, the real vindication, the real final voice to the final age, the real culmination to all of this is not just to vindicate a prophet, but to vindicate a bride and to prove to Satan that this Eve is not like the first Eve. And some of that is still to come. Some of that is still just on the horizon. I found it interesting that in the seventh seal, as Brother Branham is in the same language as the book of John, and he breaks down the seventh seal. And I'm just going to quickly say this. I love this. One place he says, the only reason you never heard me talk about this before in your life. He says, I'm hoping, trust you, people understand who the author of it at all. And he says, you never heard me talk about this, but the hour is approaching. So he says, the hour is approaching. And then he goes on to say, you would think that something like this would be revealed to the Vatican, but it comes just like John the Baptist. It comes by the birth of our Lord and the stable glory to God. So help me. The hour is at hand. So he says, the hour is approaching. The hour is at hand. But then he said, this great secret that lays behind this seal. I don't know. I couldn't make it. So there's a third part that went across there and he couldn't make it out. There's three parts to it. And he couldn't make the third part. He says, this great secret lies behind it. I couldn't make it out. And what he said, but I know that it was them seven thunders uttering themselves right close together, banging seven times, and it unfolded into something else that I seen. Then when I seen that, I looked for the interpretation. It flew across there, and I couldn't make it out. That's exactly right. See, the hour isn't quite yet for it, but it's moving in that cycle. So I'm not getting into intricate details here, but I'm just saying to you, it's the same language. He's saying the hour has arrived. The seventh seal is revealed. But there's something here that he says the hour isn't quite yet for it, but it's moving into that cycle. It's coming up close. So the thing for you to do is remember, I speak to you in the name of the Lord. Be prepared, for you don't know what time something can happen. Praise be to God. It's exciting to know that we're under something. How many believe that we're under the seventh seal? It's exciting to know that we're under something that's not reached its final hour yet, but we are in the cycle of it. The best is yet to come. Can you say amen? The only place in the Bible that's referred to a half hour. I've been preaching to you about an hour this season. Only thing in the Bible is referred to a half hour spiritually. Symbolism. The seventh seal. Half hour silence. Isn't that interesting? I'm not going on with that. Half hour of silence. But yet when we talk about the hour, you see, let me just say it this way. There's parts of this, Brother Bram says, he's it's secret. It's, in other words, it's no public show. Can't let it out what Satan would do with it. Revelation brought just to the bride. Can you say amen? But yet, in the final proving, I love the scripture. Once again, I refer back to Brother Jason saying right in line with this last night, where he's saying in Acts 1, where he says, let me just catch it because I want to quote it the way he says it here. He says in Acts 1, to whom also he showed himself alive. After his passion, after the dark hour, after the cross, he showed himself alive by many infallible proofs. Can you say amen? So you see now, you have a part of this that's hidden, but yet in the final analysis, when we come to it, God is going to prove eventually to this entire world, there'll be a vindication to this entire world that this was the truth. Can you imagine the men that took him and put him in court? Took Jesus in court. Can you imagine them starting to hear after the resurrection that they can't find his body? How do you think they acted? Now, I know some people just put out and say, oh, somebody stole it or whatever, and that's what they said about it. But listen, some of these guys in their heart, we took this man to court. We thought he wasn't the right thing. The Jews told us to do it. All this pressure on us. But then we realize there's something's happened here, and they can't find him, and they still can't find him. Praise the Lord! He proved it, and what was the ultimate hour? A resurrection took place. And that day when he says 3 days, you destroy this temple, I'll raise it up again. Criticize all you want to. But there's power of resurrection in this life that if you put it in the deepest, darkest grave, it'll come up again. Okay, I'm passing all this now. I have way too much hay in my fork. And I'm jumping right to my last point. Praise the Lord. Can you say praise the Lord for that? Oh, yeah. There's food out there. I didn't get to the simple things that Jesus was doing. What was he doing? He was praying more earnestly. Simple now. What was he doing during that hour? He was praying more earnestly. He didn't pray less. He prayed more. Why? Because he knew the hour. Second of all, he held a confidence, as Brother Jason was saying, he had a confidence that he says, even if you all betray me, even if you all scatter and you leave me alone, I'm never alone. I tell you, friends, we need a revelation in our heart that if people separate from us, whatever happens, and you feel alone. How many's ever felt alone before? You need a revelation. I'm never alone. In this dark time, I'm never alone. The third thing I think he's doing is speaking words of encouragement to his disciples as they enter that hour and prepare them for it. He's speaking words of encouragement because the next day everything would change. They wouldn't know up and down what was going on, in and out, what's taking place here. Why is Peter acting this way? The extreme emotions, everything. But before that, he's encouraging them with positive words of encouragement. I'm going to say it this way. I think we're in a time, friends, that we need to not be gossiping. We need not... Oh, boy, God, it was quiet there. This is a time for us to mature. We don't need to be using our time to gossip and tear down. We need to be using our words to encourage one another. Because this hour, we're not going to get encouragement from any other sources. We're going to get dessert. We got a devil's voice whispering in our ear. We got people criticizing. We got pressures. We don't need internally for us to be putting one another down. And I'm telling you, during this dark hour as they entered it, Jesus was giving encouraging words to his disciples. And I pray that you just say, Lord, help me to be more positive. And help me to encourage someone with positive words. You may be saying, well, I don't need any of that. Yeah, you do. Yeah, you do. Yeah, you do. You don't need just to build your ego. That's not what I'm talking about. We're living in a dark time. Like never before. And so we need the encouragement. The last thing is he holds a confidence as he brings this whole thing of the seed out. He says, except the corn of wheat fall in the ground. He's got a revelation that, yeah, they're going to put me in the ground. But I've got the right seed inside. And that's really the best thing they could do is to put me in the ground because I'm a seed of God. What a way to look at the darkness. What a way to look at your troubles. Because the deeper it gets and the darker you place me down, it's just better. Because that life that's down there, it's going to rise. It's going to rise out of anything. That's the revelation you need above anything else. Am I a son and daughter of God? Am I a seed of God? And if I am, it's indestructible. I said it's indestructible. The fish, Brother Brem says, has a law. Fish can stand up in the water and he has a law within him. If he'll just let it go, that law that's in him, he can sink, plunder the bottom of the sea. Won't bother him a bit. Won't break one cell. The law, you see, that law is not within you. You can't do it, but the fish can. He deflates himself with such air, with his air. And you've heard this before, but I'm closing on this. And he can enforce that law to make him plumb to the bottom of the sea and then raise him back again. Oh, there's a law in Christ. The law's in men. You can bury him to the deepest grave or the deepest sea or the lowest hell. There's a law of the Spirit of God that will raise him up again. A bird has a law. Can you say amen? Amen. I just say this. Brother Blessing Chessa invited our family last year to Zimbabwe. Or it might have been a year and a half ago now. It's always been a lifelong dream of our family to be able to go there and sing in Africa. So the Lord put it together. We got everything together, and we were able to. When we came, he just rolled out the red carpet and gave us plenty of time to sing and minister to about 10,000 believers. It was hard to describe. But this brother, you know, Brother Blessing, then he drowned just here last year. Tragedy. It was a huge loss to us. But a week before he drowned. He's out fishing and he drowned. A week before he drowned, he's reading these quotes. And so the church, I think at his funeral, is playing it back. And his words, he's saying the seed of God. If you're a seed of God, if there's life in it. And he reads it and he's emphasizing. And he can enforce that law. And you take him to the plumb to the bottom of the sea. And it'll raise him back up again. It's a week before the Lord takes him. He's holding the same revelation. Doesn't matter what happens to me. Hallelujah. And that's what happened to him. And Brother Bradham says, goes on to say, a bird, it's earthbound. It has a law, but it has a law within it. The way it spreads its wing, it can fly plumb out of sight. That's against science. It's earthbound. Gravitation has to hold it here, but it can defy gravitation to lift itself off and go right on out because it has to put that law in it to work. And it's built to possess that law. Now, I'm beginning to feel religious now. We have a law, the law of life within us. The only thing you have to do, you are made and born and placed in the body of Christ as sons and daughters of God. You don't have to knuckle down to the devil. We've got a law. That's the law of the Holy Spirit. The only thing you have to do is know how to let go and let God. You keep fighting at it, it'll never work. When you let go and let God, that's all. If the fish said, wait, I can catch my breath real good. I'll breathe a little oxygen in me. I'll see if I can go down. No. He don't do that. That's why I like what Brother Jason said about overcoming. What a wonderful thing to realize. It's not you mechanically trying to overcome, but there's a promise. When you're dealing with a promise of God, that's a much deeper thing than you mentally trying to overcome something. As a matter of fact, you've already overcome everything by election, can you say? By predestination. And the overcomer is living within you. What a way to look at it. Amen. He doesn't catch my breath and then the bird. I'll see how fast I can run down here and maybe I'll take off. No, he won't do it. He'll fall down. He's got to know how to control that law within him. The same way it is with us. It isn't what we fight and pull and hurry. Oh, if I don't get this, if I don't get that, that's not it. It's to know that the law of life is within you. That's it. How are we going to go through this dark time? It's to know the law of life is within us. And you just let go and let God. And then it takes you to your healing. Then it takes you to the baptism of the Spirit. And anything that He's promised, any claim that He's given is yours by what? Letting go and letting God have His way. That's what Jesus, what would Jesus do? What did He do? He's encouraging His disciples. He's praying more earnestly. Amen? He's confident that He's not alone, even if it looks like He's never alone. And the last thing, He knows that there's a life within Him that no matter how dark it gets and no matter how everybody acts and everybody's up and down, He's holding steady. And that's why in Psalms 27, Brother Jason referred to it. Look at this confidence in Psalms 27. In this will I be confident. Though a host is, in this will I be confident. I'm sealed. I'm in a secret place. I have a life within me. Can it rise? It's indestructible. It rises above everything. Musicians can come, and I'll just say this. Brother Bram looked back at a woman back in the back, and I think I've quoted this here before, but he said, sister, I just prayed for you. He says, the devil's trying to tell you didn't get anything. But he says, you believe and love God. He says, who do you think put that love of God within you? He said, the Creator created that love for God within you. See, I love God. But even that's not something you mustered up. That's a creation of God within you to love Him, to follow Him. It's a creation of God. And the creation of God are indestructible. Satan can't get it. Satan can't change it. Satan can't make it dark enough to completely destroy a believer. The hour before the final hour. Let's stand together. Heavenly Father, there is a great confidence, Lord, that You held there. Such a stability, you watched even Your own congregation go up and down and in and out, and You watched these men come with swords, Lord, start to act different because the hour changes. You watched Judas, one close to You, sell You out. Lord, You even said You were troubled about the hour. Lord, you no doubt in that human part, You were suffering a bit. And yet, Lord, You held steady and You held this confidence that we're talking about. That in this time You knew that because of what You were and who You were and the life that was in You, there wasn't a grave that was dark enough or deep enough. to put you in that you wouldn't come out of. Lord, let me have that. Lord, let me have that stability and steadiness. Lord, when my mind goes different ways, Lord, just bring it back to that solid revelation of what you placed me in the body of Christ, what you, the hour that we're living in, what's coming. Help me, Lord, to draw strength. Help the people here, even the young people, to draw hope and excitement, Lord, for the hour that we're in and the hour that's coming. Thank you, Lord. Thank you for your grace. Thank you for the strength, the stabilizers that's been put in the ship for us to be able to crest every one of the waves ahead of us. And Lord, we know the storms, as Brother Jason was saying, more and more storms coming. And yet, Lord, as we see all this destruction, even the last few days, Lord, knocking an entire city out there in the panhandle, yet, Lord, a storm can take out the entire building. It can take out the entire structure. But yet, Lord, the foundation stays. Through every storm, the foundation stays. And that's how we feel about our lives sometimes. So much the storm can do to destruct things and bring things down. But yet, Lord, you've put a foundation within us that is unmovable. I thank you, Lord. I pray something is said today to minister to your body. And we put this in your hands to bring forth fruit. Continue to bless us in these meetings, Lord. We pray. We commit it to you. In Jesus' name, amen. I want to sing, I'm Not Afraid. Can I sing, I'm Afraid of the Darkness? Remember that one? I'm not afraid of the darkness. Who shall I fear? If God before me, what shall we say?
We are the generation. We're the culmination. The world will hear. Coming of the Lord is near. The revelation. Overcoming sin, temptation. Truth will go to every tongue and nation. We are the chosen generation. Is your prayer this morning? I'm gonna make it. He's already said that I would. I'll keep on trusting. Beside me, heaven is in my view. Oh, I'm gone.
10,000 reasons.
Make it through. Oh, sing it again now. It just sounds so nice. Yes, I'm gone. Already said that I would, and I'll keep on trusting, think for my good, and he walks beside. Heaven is in my view. Oh, I'm gonna.
Praise the Lord. Let's give him an offering of praise this morning. Thank you, Jesus. Boy, you know, I was thinking, how can we top the service last night? I just know I wouldn't want to be Aaron McGarry. That's all. You think about it, just such a great foundation, and you're just building things out. Can I say this one thing to you? You remember in 1964, and recognizing your day and its message, and Brother Branham is talking about the people around him in that day, Jack Moore, different ones, and. Here's Brother Branham standing there in his hour, in his day. And the seals are open, and he realizes we've turned a corner, and this great change has come. And he's right in the middle of that. And the people around him are actually sponsoring him. And the people around him, they're saying, fast and pray, fast and pray. The hour is on us, fast and pray, fast and pray. And here's Brother Branham standing right there. And they're saying, fast and pray. Something's happening. We, you know, the revival's coming. We need to be praying and so forth. And here's Brother Branham standing right there, and he's looking at them. Yeah. Now, let me just say this about that. It's incredible. It's incredible to think there are people that can feel that the hour is somehow got to change, but it's hidden from them. They can't make it out. They can't see it because it's happening right there, and they can't see it. Now, you think about this day, this hour that we're living in. You know what you're witnessing today? In our day, we're witnessing the bride moving into another hour, and God's letting you see it. Your eyes are not holding from that. Your eyes are not hidden. We're rejoicing over things that were said today because God's allowing you to see, wow, that makes sense. Yeah, I can relate to that. I can understand that. And I was sitting back there thinking, huh, no wonder why this is happening. And no wonder why that's happening. Because we're moving into an hour. And you know what? It isn't Brother Branham's hour. I hope you understand that. We're not moving into Malachi 4. We're moving into the bride's hour. And God's allowing you to see it. So we're not just sitting here saying, oh, something's happening, something's changing, we got to do something. That isn't it. We're saying, ah, this is what's going on. It's the hour before, you know what? Our bodies will be changed and take off. And God's not hiding that from you. God's showing you this. What a blessed people we are. God has chosen you to live in the hour when things are changing and to let you see it. What a blessed people we are. Wow. If you got an ounce of preacher in you, how can you not preach? You know, I mean, it's just, but we got to eat, right? 10,000 reasons. Let's throw it up on the board here. Bless the Lord, O my soul. Worship His holy name. Sing like never before. Oh, my soul, worship Your holy name. The sun comes up. It's time to sing Your song again. Whatever may pass and whatever lies before me, bless the Lord, O my soul. Worship His holy name. Sing like never before. Oh, my soul, I'll worship Your holy name. Time has come. Still my soul will sing Your praise unending. Forevermore. Oh, bless the Lord, oh my soul. His holy name and sing like never before. Oh, my soul,
worship your whole. Sing that chorus again now. Thank you, Jesus. Oh, bless the Lord, oh, my soul. Oh, my soul. Worship his holy name. Sing like never before. Oh, my soul. Holy name. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Sing like never before. It's never been an hour like this hour. Never been a day like this day. What a time to live. Kind of beginning to understand a little bit why Brother Branham said if anybody really had their choice about what hour they wanted to live in, they would have lived in this hour, would have chosen this hour. Because it's not a natural thing. It's not a natural privilege in a sense. It's a spiritual understanding of the hour you're living in. To move into the greatest time that Gentiles could live on the face of the earth. Better than the day of Pentecost. Better than the Reformation time. Better than any other. It's better than Azusa Street. And to live, to move into this hour. And God chose you to do it. He didn't ask you. He just moved you into this hour. And says, now watch. Watch what happens in that hour. Watch what I show you in that hour. Buckle up tight. It can be quite a ride. But just watch what happens in that hour. Ha ha. I'm excited. I don't know about you. We're honored to have Brother Anmar here. Rode all night on a bus to come to be in these meetings here. Brother Anmar from New York City, come on and close in prayer for us, if you will. And his wife and son and daughter in Pakistan, which is a victory. They're still alive. And we're honored to have you with us today. God bless you, Brother Anmar. We have you close in prayer.
Let's bow our hearts. Heavenly Father, it is a wonderful, great privilege to feel your presence, Lord Jesus. And Lord Jesus, thank you for this wonderful opportunity to listen from you, Lord, directly from your word, Lord Jesus. And the encouragement that you have for your people, telling them that how you care about them and how you have made all the arrangements already. You have done already. Thank you, Lord Jesus. It's all blessing and the wonderful word that you brought to your people, Lord Jesus. Lord Jesus, may this word be stay and give us strength in our life, Lord Jesus. Lord Jesus, thank you for these wonderful meetings of Fellowship Hall Dedication Services, Lord Jesus. Lord Jesus, may these special events, special meetings make a big change in the lives of the people that are here today, Lord Jesus. They may go with something that they have never before. Lord Jesus, thank you for the time of fellowship that we are going to have, Lord Jesus, afterward. Bless the food and bless all the fellowship and the meetings in the evening, Lord Jesus. Ask everything in your precious heavenly Jesus' name. Amen and amen. Amen. Thank you, Jesus.
Thank you, Jesus. Amen. Thank you, Brother Anmar. Amen. Praise the Lord. All right. We are going to dismiss you and let you go. We're dedicated this afternoon to our young people. So if you're 13 and up and single, I got to say that. You can head over to the fellowship hall and they have some lunch prepared for you, and they're going to give you instructions over there about things this afternoon until 4 o'clock, and then we're going to clear out the fellowship hall. So if you're 13 and up, you're welcome to go over there, and single, you're welcome to go over and enjoy the time together. God bless you. Sing it as you go this afternoon, and may the Lord bless you and me in prayer for our service tonight, if you don't mind. Number 5. You're rich in love and you're slow. God bless you as you go this morning. Your name is great and your heart is kind. for all your goodness. I will keep on singing 10,000 reasons. Oh, bless the Lord, oh, my soul, oh, my soul. Worship His holy name. Sing like never before, oh, my soul. Holy name. Six. And on that day when my strength is failing, my time has come.